The Girl Power Podcast.
Hi, it's Shalyn, and welcome to episode 2 of the Girl Power Podcast. Conversations with inspiring women. And speaking of inspiring women, this week's guest is none other than superstar Vanessa Ferguson.
Thank you.
The reason I created this podcast, I just created it. I have another podcast, more general on the website, but you know, it just dropped in my spirit a few weeks ago that said you need to create a podcast called the Girl Power Podcast to celebrate women, motivate, educate.
Yes,
I know that these next few years is definitely the year of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Look how many women have made history in this last election. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I said, okay, I'm gonna do it. Because the main premise of this is I meet so many women, or you see so many successful women, but you don't know their story. You just see their glory.
Right.
So, you know, I want to talk about, you know, what led each person to the place that they are.
Mm.
This is the reason why I said, okay, let's do it.
That sounds excellent.
And naturally, I thought about you.
I love that. Yeah, I love that.
Naturally, I thought about you. Getting just a little bit into your story, born in Brooklyn, right?
Yes.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
What part of Brooklyn, you know?
Brownsville.
Oh, wow. Right in there.
Slidmore Avenue.
Wow. Okay. I grew up on Kings Highway.
I haven't been there in a while, but where?
Kings Highway.
Oh, okay.
And in Bed-Stuy. Spent my weekends
in
Bed-Stuy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I grew up in South Carolina.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just imagine you came out of the womb singing.
Somewhat, yes. Matter of fact, my mother was singing with me in the choir. She sang with me in her belly.
Wow.
So, yeah, my grandmother's a singer also. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Bloodline.
Got it honest.
Yeah, bloodline. And from there, you were classically trained?
Yes. My grandmother somehow scraped up some money, got me a keyboard, and put me in piano lessons.
Uh-huh.
And then later, I want to say my first vocal. I mean, I was always in the choir as a small child, but my first, I guess, vocal formal training was probably, you know, coming to Greensboro, doing chorus and in junior high and in high school, and then moving on to North Carolina A&T State University. Yeah. You know, being a vocal major there.
Okay.
So,
okay. Yeah. So you got the science of it down, you know.
Somewhat,
but,
yes.
You know?
Yes, I study.
Yeah.
I study pretty hard, you know, about figuring things out and trying to, I guess, be the best vocalist, you know, that
absolutely.
I can be.
Absolutely. Yeah. So at what point did you say, well, okay, this is my life's calling. This is what I'm going to be doing.
Oh, fifth grade.
What?
I know the exact day.
Fifth grade. Wow. Well, I can see that. Because when I was like 10 years old, and my mom bought me this little transistor radio back in the day, and I used to go to sleep listening to the radio every night. And she would have to come in the room and turn the radio off. Because I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I was 10. Yeah, so exactly.
Nice.
I see
and
that.
And you just happen to have the voice for it.
Oh,
that's kind of great.
You.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. Thank you.
Fifth grade. There was a talent show in Brooklyn, New York, in my elementary school, and I don't know. Nobody really knew I could sing. Like, if you didn't go to my church, you didn't know I could sing. If you weren't in my family, you didn't know.
Yeah.
I played ball, and I was like, you know, the tomboy and the hitman, which is a whole different conversation. I used to beat up the bullies, but anyway.
Me too.
You too?
That's
crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, I wasn't a bad kid, but the bully, like if I found out you were bullying somebody, I would just beat you up. But so they had a talent show and nobody knew I could sing. And I got with a friend of mine, Deidre Booker, and Killing Me Softly was out by the Fugees version.
Yeah.
And so it was like, okay, we're going to split this song up. So the way we did it, she was in the front of the, we didn't have an auditorium, we had the lunchroom.
Okay.
So she was in front other room, and she started the song off, and I was like, I'm gonna come from the back. Nobody's even gonna know that I'm like doing the song. It's just crazy. We had this choreography planned out, and I came from the back on the second verse, and everybody, I remember they were standing up on the tables like, oh! They had no idea that, you know, I even sang. But yeah, after that, just seeing the response mm-hmm. from the students, I was like, oh, this is it right here. This mm-hmm. is me. I'm gonna do
wow.
this.
Wow. Yeah, so. That's amazing.
Yeah. Never forget that.
And from there, you've gone to all over the world singing.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to, my voice has carried me a number of places that I mm-hmm. never even really thought about, you know, going. Yeah. Never thought I would, probably the first generational, traveler of my family mm-hmm. to get, you know, across the world.
So yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Now, having been to so many different places abroad, what is it, the one thing that you would say that we could learn from the people in Europe, in China, and, you know, all these places? Because the mentality, no doubt, is different.
Mm-hmm. That's a deep question. I have to think about, because there are also so many different cultures that I've experienced.
Yeah,
you know, I spent a lot of time in China. I was there. I basically lived there mm-hmm. almost 6 months. And culture is so, so different. I don't know. That's a very good question. I didn't expect that one.
Yeah, I mean,
what
when you look
learn?
At when you look at it, you know, everything's so different, and here it seems like we're going backwards.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know,
I would say, I mean, politically, and they, it seems like everywhere else there's, for one, healthcare is different.
Yeah.
Like being specific, you know, uh-huh. with some things. There are a lot of struggles that we have here that you wouldn't think, you know, with this being greatest country in the world.
Yeah.
That we would suffer with having issues with unity. That's probably the, mm-hmm. the one of the biggest, you know. People aren't, they don't seem so against each other.
Yeah.
Whether I'm in Asia, yeah, or mm-hmm. whether I'm in Italy or France or wherever, there's like a different feel. There's much better unity.
Yeah.
I would say,
yeah.
to generalize the whole thing.
But. Yeah. I can see that. I can see that because, mm-hmm. you know, I lived in Hawaii for 8 years, and even there, it's a culture shock.
Yeah.
And the tolerance there is so different.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you're in another country because mm-hmm. it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
They are aware of race now.
And they are another country. Let's be real.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
I think about that all the time, how we acquire things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Know, as
yeah.
a nation. And,
yeah.
and, yeah, it's still
yeah, because right now there's more Japanese people that live in Hawaii than Hawaiians.
Wow, really?
Than Native Hawaiians.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a true melting pot there.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So yeah, the tolerance, it's the aloha spirit is real.
Mm.
And I wish everywhere, you know, on the mainland, as
mm-hmm.
they say, could have a little bit more of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the way I think God intended for it to
absolutely,
be.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And it's puzzling to me that, you know, this world's biggest beefs with each other is based on religion.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, what you believe or what you
yeah.
think or how you think is
yeah.
different from me, and then how you look is different from how I look, so we have a problem. How is, you know.
How does that work?
Yeah, how does that work?
How does that work?
Are we all not in this journey searching for love
mm-hmm.
and stability mm-hmm. and, you know, pleasures? And it's like,
and to
what
do
we,
what God
what
intended
we
us
war?
To do is
yes.
to help each other.
It's to help each other. Why not?
Yeah.
What
That's
else
crazy.
Is there?
It's crazy. So everybody, you know, was so excited for you, and you, I saw your audition on The Voice. And I was in the room screaming.
Did you know I was doing, how did
I
you,
had no
you know?
Idea until maybe like the week after the season had started.
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying, Vanessa's going to be on The Voice.
You got a girl from Greensboro. Right.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I got to watch said, I gotta watch it. Of course, I watched it. I love that show anyway.
It's a great show.
It is. It's a really great show. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that experience, just from the audition to the end of the role for you there.
Well, first of all, I won't say in shock, but it's like the Twilight Zone. So you're there, but you're not really there. I don't know.
Were you nervous?
No. Oh, at first, yeah. So like before the blind audition, mm-hmm. right? It's like mm-hmm. little nerves are setting in because you go out on, I'm about to go on the stage and I'm about to sing for not even the millions of people that are watching and are thinking about that because mm-hmm. they're not physically there.
Right,
so,
right.
It's not exactly real to you.
Yeah.
So, it was just, I'm singing in front of people that I'm, you know, a fan of, like Adam Levine and Alicia Keys. And so mm-hmm. that was like, all right, well, I don't know, how am I going to do, you know? So the nerves kicked in, but then I quickly got rid of them. Before yeah. I went on the stage, it was mm-hmm. like, you can't afford to be nervous. How about that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to be nervous. It's a natural thing, but you can't yeah. even afford this. You yeah. can't afford to be so nervous that your voice shakes or that you forget. Mm-hmm. You can't afford it. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, just thinking about the reason why I was doing it. I mm-hmm. was doing it because I have family members who are working in, like you would say, corporate America or mm-hmm. whatever. And mm-hmm. A cousin specifically, Gigi, she's an older cousin, but she's working till 10 o'clock at night every night, easy, you mm-hmm. know. And she pays for my grandmother's house. Mm-hmm. My grandmother raised us. She mm-hmm. raised her children, 12 of her children,
oh,
plus
wow.
all of
wow.
so many of the grandchildren.
Yeah.
So, you know, I actually thought about my cousin Gigi and was mm-hmm. like, I can't afford to be nervous.
Yeah.
You know, I got to handle business right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was pretty calm and cool. Like, hey, the only thing I'm in control of, and this is like a life lesson that I've taken with me, the only thing I'm really in control of is myself. And that, we
yeah.
all know that's to an extent also, right?
Yeah,
'cause things
absolutely.
Happen.
Absolutely.
But my expectation was I'm going to go and do this song. I'm going to smack this song and whatever happens, happens. And I'm going to be happy with
right.
how I performed
right.
my song and
yeah.
that's it, you
yeah.
know? And so three chairs turned. It was like, that's nuts.
Now, who's the one coach that you really wanted the chair to turn?
Oh, Alicia, because I wanted to be on her team. I had to be on Alicia's team. It
wow.
was going to be her from jump.
Yeah, yeah.
And but like I said, I'm also a big fan of Adam.
Oh,
Levine,
I love Maroon 5,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it was nuts. Like, when we got towards the end of the show, he would come up to me, like, during commercial breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, I'm such a fan of yours, Marissa. And I'm like,
wow.
I don't even understand what's happening right now. Adam, what?
Favor, girl, that's
you understand?
Favor.
So, but the whole experience was worth it. I used to say, I went there for the publicity, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to say, man, I couldn't pay for this type of advertisement.
Yeah.
Stop saying that. Because I paid for it. I just didn't pay, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
monetarily,
right.
but I
right.
paid for it.
Right.
Very strenuous, long days, mm-hmm. 16, 20 hours a day was average.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they invited my mom to the show, I looked on the schedule, it was a 12-hour day.
Mm.
And I remember being like, oh, yes, I got a 12-hour day. I'm going to sleep or I'm going to study my song. Like, I was happy for a 12-hour day.
Wow.
So that goes to show you, you know, it's
yeah.
every day and it's,
yeah.
it's very long hours. And but it was all really cool. I mean, you got people going out to shop for you to find the clothes that you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was like they basically take you from wherever you are and make you a big time recording artist,
mm-hmm.
You know, overnight. And so you have all the works of everything and everybody working
right.
with you. And so that's you know, it was dope. It was worth it for sure.
So if you had to do it over again, would you do it again?
I would have to do it again without the knowledge that I have now.
Oh, okay.
Because for many reasons, you know, many reasons, I guess it wouldn't be the same if I know
yeah.
that if I know I'm going to make it.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
I mean, I'm not
going to yeah.
approach it the same.
Yeah.
I'm not
going to
have the same excitement or
yeah.
enthusiasm.
Right, right. That hunger.
And then I'd have to not know, I think, how... I'd have to not know the bad side of it
mm-hmm.
all. You know, it's mm-hmm. good to just go in and just,
yeah.
you know, Yeah. Do it. So yeah, I would do that. It again if I didn't have the knowledge that I did that I have now. Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. So whatever you want, how did that single come about?
Oh man, I was doing some touring, and we're like, well, we need a single. We need a song. We need some music, obviously, right? We want to kind of ride the wave of the show.
Yeah.
And my husband was like, man, I'm going to hit up Jock Beats. And I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, you know, he's done some stuff, Camp Low or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we called Jock. Jock's like, yeah, man, we got to do something right now. We got to put it out like yesterday. Well, it didn't happen in a day, but we went to the studio. Pretty soon after that, I walk into the studio, Andre's studio, the other producer on the song, and Jock already had this beat playing. He had the track playing. Mm-hmm. I thought it was something else because it was a sample, and you know, I'm not really trying to do someone else's music,
right.
Especially like classic and these mm-hmm. major artists who, like, you know, you don't really want to touch anyone's stuff. But when I walked in, he had the music playing, and I sat down. He's like, yeah, we're going to do something to this. So I was like, okay. So I'm thinking this is just a little something that we're going to do on the side, and then we're going to create a whole nother whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the idea he had to get on this song. So I said, okay. I sat down. I wrote it in the same hour or whatever and recorded it right then and there. Listened to the draft a little bit. I was like, oh, kind of like, it's kind of cool. It's catchy. And months and months and months and months and months go by, right? I did this. I recorded it like July of 2017.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
And I was sitting on it because I was like, well, I just thinking too much. I mean, or thinking a lot. I won't say too much. I think a lot. And my thought was, well, when I step out, I don't necessarily want my first step to be a sample or, you know, I'm just trying to approach it the right way. And then I didn't necessarily know if I wanted my first step to be R&B either. Right. I have a, you know, wide variety of genres that I do and fans that I have. So it was like, which fans do I kind of want to cater to first? So I sat on the song and then talked with some other people that are close to me that are in the music business and let them hear it. Really, it was my husband. Man, the song is dope. The song is crazy, man. He's like, man, listen to this song. Hey, come over here, listen to this song. And they were like, oh, man, it's fire. And I was like, yeah. He's like, no, you got to put it out now. He's like, man, you come over here, listen to this song. So he let so many different people hear it. And the people, you know, I respect their opinions very much.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I was doing a tally in my head. Well, I say maybe. They say absolutely. He says absolutely. So it kind of went that way. It was just a vote, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, let's go re-record it because it was just a draft. I had just written it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I re-recorded it, and we put it out June of this year. And it's been amazing so far. We did the video for it, got the video out. I couldn't get the real Joe to see in the video. So I used my brain and was like, well, I have nephews. I don't know if you saw the video, but like, I was like, I need y'all to be Jodeci.
On our Facebook page.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
I was like, y'all gonna be Jodeci. Of course, they have no idea who Jodeci is. They're like 8, 9, 10, whatever years old, but they did an amazing job.
Yeah, because I was like, all right, young Jodeci.
Right. So it's pretty cool. It's nice to involve my family, so I love doing
that. That's amazing. That's awesome. So when is the album coming out?
That's what everyone's asking.
When is the album coming out?
I don't really know. God hasn't told me yet. I do have another single coming out. I don't know. We may drop it around my birthday, something like that, which is January.
Okay.
It's sitting and waiting. It's been mixed. It's been mastered.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty excited about this one, too.
Okay.
So I don't know. We might just approach it, you know, differently and release bunch of singles, but we'll see how it goes.
Really hitting the ground running.
Yeah, I'm trying. Just trying to do whatever it is that I can do, and you know, it's crazy. A lot of things have come to fruition and full circle, and you know, even just back to the show. Once Alicia Keys came out, obviously everyone wanted me to perform Alicia Keys because our voices are very similar.
Very similar.
And got like similar vibes, and we both play piano.
Mm-hmm.
So high school, everybody's like, do this new Alicia Keys song. So mm-hmm. I performed her music so much, it feels like my music. And then to end up on the show,
yeah,
her last, oh no, I think she did a season after me, but to be on the show when she's on the show, and I don't know, it's just crazy. And she turns her chair and I end up on her team, and so many things just kind of
make sense.
They make sense by and by.
Yeah,
right.
It was supposed to happen.
Right. It had already happened. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That things are already set in place and you just have to mm-hmm. meet them where they are.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely. So absolutely.
That's kind of, it's been a whirlwind. It's been kind of crazy, but.
When you tap into what you know, what you come to know is God's plan for your life, mm-hmm. it makes things a whole lot easier.
Absolutely. Yeah. So much easier.
Yeah, yeah.
I came off of a tour. I was touring the Mediterranean and South America. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this summer. So I got home in December, and that summer after is when I auditioned, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to do a funeral for a friend of the family, close mm-hmm. friend of the family, that very day. And wow. So I was invited to come and come and audition for the second round of The Voice. And I don't know. I did not know that I was auditioning until that morning that I got up.
Wow.
If I was going to go to the audition or to the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, God, you know, whatever you want me to do. I just kind of let go. I was like, whatever you want me to do. And actually, when I said that, hey, whatever you want me to do next, mm-hmm. is when I got the email, like, we want you to come audition. So, okay. So, I don't know. It's just definitely easier when you just kind of submit and just go
let
with
go
the flow.
And let God.
Absolutely.
That's what I say every day. Mm-hmm. But it's hard because we want to be in control.
Yeah.
Especially when things are not going at the rate we think they should be going.
Yes.
So, you know, when that happens for me, I'm like, God has a plan. So I'm just going to sit back, let him drive.
It's not the easiest.
It is not.
There's a meme out and it says, the caption is like, when I tell God, okay, you know, when I let go and let God. And the picture is of a little child sliding down this slide, and he looks like he's about to lose his life. Like, oh, my God. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
he's
jumping out of an airplane, mm-hmm. you know, literally sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's just about knowing and trying to be easy and not worrying. And it's easier said than done.
Very much so. Very much so. So what would an album from Vanessa Ferguson look like? Musically, as far as genres,
mm-hmm.
would you mix genres or?
Yeah, definitely. And even within a song, you know,
mm-hmm.
I love to. I got one song called If It Happens that I'm going to re-record mm-hmm. with some very, very talented musician friends of mine.
Okay.
They don't know it yet, but we're going to re-record
this.
You
got to speak it, girl,
yeah.
Speak it.
Oh, it's happening. We're going to re-record this. I don't want to say any names yet, but I'll let you know. But this song, If It Happens, is very jazzy in the beginning, and
okay.
then it kind of breaks off into like R&B fusion. So
mm-hmm.
Definitely got to, you know, bring all of my influences into play, whether it's classical or mm-hmm. Jazz or blues. And but an album would be, I'm kind of on a, I got some weird things mixing up. Definitely some rapping. I want to do more mm-hmm. more hip hop
mm-hmm.
Within the R&B songs
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, lately I've been listening to a lot of James Brown, so
oh,
like
wow.
his band, like the live band
yeah.
sound with the horns
they were
and all
incredible.
Of that
incredible
oh man
incredible
oh yeah. man the best to
yeah.
ever do it
yeah
so some of that like mm-hmm. you know even I don't know man it's going to be a plethora of things but mm-hmm. It'll be really tasty, for sure.
Can't wait to hear it. Cannot wait to hear it.
For sure. Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Now, speak to this generation of Insta-famous people, those who, you know, it's hard when, you know, when you're at the grind every day and then you see somebody on Instagram and you know, they become famous because of a photo or a video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hard work, the work ethic, because I know you have a serious work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for people who think it's just that easy, you know, just to be, oh, I'm going to be famous tomorrow, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone who, you know, especially the young girls coming up, you know, mm-hmm. about hard work and knowing exactly what it is that you want and got to have that drive and you got to keep at it? Because sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. Overnight.
Mm-hmm. It almost never happens overnight.
Yeah.
Almost never.
Yeah.
97% of the time, mm-hmm. it doesn't happen overnight. And even with me, a lot of people will say, man, I get a lot of different questions. One being, are you going to keep seeing, like, what are you going to do now, you know, after the show? And I'm like, the show is this much of my life. It literally was not even a full year mm-hmm. of my life. And I've been singing professionally since I was 18 years old. I've been doing music professionally since I was 13 years mm-hmm. old. Mm-hmm. So it's been, if you count from 13, it's been 21 years of performing and mm-hmm. this person hearing me and that person hearing me. And, you know, things come into play. Networking comes into play.
Yes.
And then you get bigger and better things, and that's just kind of how I've evolved.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like the iceberg. It's the iceberg. What you see is the very tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
you don't see what's all up underneath
it. Right.
Some people are fortunate enough to have instant fame, mm-hmm. and there is an advantage and a disadvantage. When you have that instant fame, I don't know if you appreciate it as much as if you had to work hard for it. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't know that you necessarily know what to do with that instant fame once you get it, mm-hmm. how to continue to market yourself or brand yourself, or mm-hmm. do you have the knowledge of whatever it is that you're into? Say you're a singer and you just did a song on YouTube and now you're famous. Well, do you know what all goes into the music business or songwriting or whatever so that you're in the best position that you can be mm-hmm. so that you won't be gypped and you won't be taken advantage of? So there's an advantage and a disadvantage. If you are able to do it instantly, kudos.
Yeah.
Kudos to you.
Right.
But I would say get down to business, get your financial advisor, get you some books, gain you some knowledge, figure out, you know, how whatever it is that you got going, how long that might last, figure out your next move, maybe some rebranding, you know, depending on what you're famous for.
Learn the business of the business.
Oh, absolutely. And the music business in particular is no picnic. It's not easy, and it's ever evolving. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing.
It's
constantly changing.
That's
what worked in 1996 is not working right mm-hmm. now. It's so different.
Like, it is.
Record labels might become extinct at some point, you know?
Yeah, looking that way. Kind of, you know, it's looking a lot with streaming, the advent of streaming and, you know, there's so many other ways to get music now, you know?
Because you don't have to. I mean, the labels now act more like a, I don't know, loan shark.
That's funny you say that. I was just watching an old clip of TLC when they won those Grammys, and they were just, I mean, they just won like 2 or 3 Grammys or whatever, and they were talking to the press, and they were so angry.
Mm.
You know, it was like, we won a Grammy, but y'all don't know the half. Yeah, it's like we're basically broke, you know, so.
Not cool at all.
Yeah.
Especially when you're the one, like, you're out there doing the work,
mm-hmm.
you know.
In somebody else's pocket all the money.
God.
Yeah.
That's that burns me up right
there.
That's the reason I stopped doing a lot of things that I was doing
mm-hmm.
prior to, and even before the show. It was like, you know what, this is cool and everything, but if I'm the one doing the work and I'm the one bringing the patrons and I'm the, like,
mm-hmm.
I can't have somebody else counting my money for me.
Right.
And, you know, counting the money and giving me what they want to give me.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day.
Absolutely.
You know, you do it when you have to do it, but you got to be smart about some things and try mm-hmm. to cut the middleman out as much as possible.
Yeah.
if at all possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been an amazing conversation.
Yeah.
And, I'm glad you were able to come in.
I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to you, just period in general.
Listen, you made my job easy. You put out a great song.
I made your job. Okay.
You know, you put out great music, and, you know.
Thank you. Thank you.
You make it easy.
Thank you for saying
it. I mean, it's great that you're using your gift. You know what I mean? And
I'm going to try to, I'm going to do my best, you know, not to stop using it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal.
Yeah. Well, I think like this is just the beginning. We haven't seen.
Oh, wow.
We haven't even seen the best of Vanessa yet.
Mm. I'll see that. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I feel that. I feel that.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you.
And we're going to speak. Thank you so much.
So we're going to speak more success.
Thank you.
Speak it.
Thank you. And thank you for being an aid in my journey and, you know, in this process of pushing forward.
Absolutely. Thank you. Vanessa Ferguson on the Girl Power Podcast.